me to the book of Daniel. Hope you're still there. Daniel chapter number 1. If you're just joining us by way of internet or your first time here, we are in a sermon series on Sunday mornings focused on the family. Focused on the family. Now, don't let that exclude you. You say, I'm just one person. I'm a single. I'm an empty nester. I don't have family. If you are one person, you are a family. Amen. You're part of the family of God. Give me an amen on that one right there. Let's make sure we're in the right spot this morning. You're part of the family of God. There are principles and truths that apply to all of us. So don't let the title, the sermon series, the sermon title help you check out, make you serious, stay checked in here. But we are in a sermon series focused on the family, fireproofing your kids. Fireproofing your kids. What does that mean? This, of course, comes from Daniel chapter number 3 when the three Hebrew boys were put to a test. They were put to a test of to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, or were they going to stand for their God? And literally, they stood for their God. They did not bow down, they stood. And when given the opportunity again, when they got a chance to maybe get a redo over, you know, like sometimes our politicians do when they make a statement and then they come out the next day and they redo it, they recheck it. I misspoke. No, you lied. I did this. I didn't know what I was saying. You've been formulating it for years. I don't think so. But the bottom line is this. They did not back off. They doubled down, so to speak. They said, no, we're not careful to answer you about this matter, O King Nebuchadnezzar. We didn't make a mistake. This wasn't a whoops, just a spur of the moment thing. They said, we are not careful to answer you. We're not going to bow down. They say, and listen, if our God can deliver us, but if not, we're not bowing. Would you say amen? These guys, young men, had a resolve. They had a resolve that they stood before. And so, yes, they went into the fire. If we had been writing the story, they would have been delivered from the fire. God would have supernaturally brought down a thunderstorm and put that fire out. And there had been no problems there. But God didn't turn the fire out. And in fact, the fire got even hotter. How many of you understand when you stand for God, things don't get easier? It gets hotter. It gets harder. It gets more difficult. We've got to understand and prep not only our kids but ourselves for this mindset that when you stand for God, things don't calm down in your life. They go haywire. When you stand for God, things don't calm down. God doesn't insulate you from difficulty, but He does insulate you through the difficulty. And so they stood for God, and they said, no, we're not going to bow down. And they knew where they were heading for. They were going to be well done guys, all right? And so they get thrown into the fiery furnace. We know the story this morning. The guys that threw them in, it was so hot, they died. But these boys get in there, and they're walking around. They're walking in the fire. Somehow Nebuchadnezzar is able to peer in there. Not exactly sure how that worked, but maybe he had a looking glass of some sort. And he was able to look in there, and he was able to see the fact that these young men were not alone. There were 3 plus 1 in that fire. And he says, didn't we not throw in 3? He says, I might not be the smartest man, but I can count to 5. And we threw in 3, and now there's 4 in there, and that fourth one's not like the other 3. That fourth one's got a different aspect to him. He's like unto the Son of God. And by the way, I want you to know the Bible doesn't say like unto a son of the gods. The correct saying is like unto the Son of God. Somebody give us an amen on that one right there. And so they get thrown in, and there they come walking through the fire. They come out of that fire. The Bible says that they didn't smell like smoke. The Bible says the clothes they wore were not even singed. They had all their hair left on their head. I mean, they didn't even smell like smoke. How many of you have the testimony? If you're at the campfire, the smoke blows on you. All right. That doesn't matter. I can make the 360 circle around the thing. It will follow me. I cannot escape the smell of smoke. Well, these young men got thrown into the fire. Something I'm talking about. They get thrown into the fire. They're in there hanging out for some time, and they come out unscathed by the fire. They had been fireproofed. They had been fireproofed. When I was a young boy, I think I was about 7th grade, maybe younger, 6th grade, our house caught on fire. I had gone to school early, and my mom was the principal of our school, and I had gone to school with her. My sister was still at home. She was of driving age, and we lived kind of out in the county, and we lived out there, and we didn't have our own fire department. We had a volunteer fire department, but then we had the city fire department. It's a small town, but our house caught on fire. My sister called our school and says, the house is on fire. I think she had called 911 before that, and then she called and said, the house is on fire. Well, we were only about 3 miles away, so off we went, and we hopped in the car, and we drove down there. Sure enough, we got to our house, and we could see smoke becoming out of the billows there, coming out of the eaves. And I had one main concern. I had a hamster that I cared for, all right? And I didn't want my hamster to die, all right? So we ran in there and all of that, and we were able to shut the thing off and shut some doors. It didn't really matter. The fire department arrived in just enough time. They said if it had been just a few more minutes, our whole house would have burned up. But, you know, we had some smoke damage after that. Our house smelled like smoke. All of our clothes smelled like smoke. I mean, even things on the outside smell like smoke. I mean, there's very few things that smoke cannot touch. It gets on anything. These young men are in a fire, literally in a fire, and they come out, and you couldn't even tell they had been there. They had been fireproofed. It's a picture of what God can do with the believer.
Amen.
You can walk through this world.
Yes, sir. Come on.
You can walk in this world. You can be active in this world as God has called you to be active, but you can still go through it and escape from this world unscathed from what the world wants to do to you.
Amen.
Amen. You can be fireproofed. Your kids can be fireproofed. What does it mean to be have a fireproofed child? It simply means this, that when standing for the Lord becomes inconvenient, unpopular, a disadvantage, or even downright dangerous, your kids choose to honor God. When your child is properly fireproof, when all the proper instructions and trainings and all the truth has been given in such a manner that they are able to stand for God even when it's downright dangerous for them. A fireproof kid is a kid who would rather convict themselves than compromise their worship of God. The Bible says in Daniel 3, the Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. That's what I desire for my children. That's what you desire for your children. That's what I desire for the children of this church. Quite frankly, that's what I desire for all of us, is that no matter what faces us, we yield unto the Lord and we stay true to the worship of God. Amen. That's the key to everything, by the way, is understanding that you are created to worship and give pleasure to God. These boys would have rather honored God in their death. Think about this for just a minute. These boys would have rather honored God in their death than deny him with their life. They would have rather said, we're going to die on our sword. We'd rather lose the right battle than win the wrong battle. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. They'd rather die for God instead of denying him with their life. What an amazing testimony. Statistics again tell us that over 70% of Christian young people are, when they're graduating high school and going off to college, that over 70% of young people are walking away never to darken a church door again. Do you understand what that statistic would mean for our church? It would mean the death of this church. It would mean the death of this church. Now let me simply say this, you'll never stamp out Christianity as a whole completely. I know that one right now. Somebody give me an amen right there. But I will tell you this, we're losing ground, statistically losing ground, because we're losing over 70% of our young people. Sunday school roster, I've been looking at that. We got about 34, 35 names. Not all are here every single Sunday, but there are about 34, 35 names of young people we have. And I begin to look, my goodness gracious, if we lost 70% of that, that'd be over 21 of the young people not living for God. Can I tell you this? In 15 years, and 20 years of being a youth pastor, the statistic is true. It's accurate. I can tell you that. From experience and observation. But you know what? Your child doesn't have to be a statistic.
Come on, brother.
Statistics are statistics.
Yeah, come on,
for people who don't take precautions against the statistics. Amen? Your child doesn't have to be one of the 70%. I can tell you this much. They say that every church must replace about 50% of its membership every 5 or 6 years because if people are falling away, people are walking away, people are leaving the churches in droves. I'm going to tell you something. We are not fireproofed. I want to tell you this morning that there is such a thing as lifetime truth. There is a way that you can, when you have the proper and seize the window of opportunity, you can teach, educate, and indoctrinate truth into your kids that will stand the test of time. Amen. Don't be disheartened by the fact of the statistics. There is a way that we can inject the truth into our children and our young people if we seize the right window of opportunity. If we do that, there is a way that when you're dead and gone, your grandchildren are still living out the truth that you live. You know, I'm trying to not just parent my children right now. I'm trying to parent my grandchildren. So you don't have no grandchildren. I know. It'll be a long time for that, Lord willing. But I want the truth to be so ingrained in my children that it's their identity that they pass it on to their generation. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 78, please. You'll keep your marker in the book of Daniel. Psalm chapter number 78, please. Psalm chapter number 78. Fireproofing our kids. Psalm chapter 78. Give ear, O my people. You find it there. I'll start in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. He said, I'm about to tell you some truth. But the truth I'm telling you is not my truth. It's not new truth. It's established truth. How many of you understand there's no such thing as new truth? New truth is an old lie. Amen. There's no new truth. And if it's true, it's always been true. It always will be true. And you can't change anything about that. Let God be true and every man a liar. He says in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That the generation to come, and here's the key verse, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. What is the writer here saying? He's saying, I want to give truth out that goes past not just my mouth, not just into the ears of my children, but truth that has been passed to me. I want to pass it on to generation so they always keep their hope in God. Amen. Paul told Timothy, the things which thou have heard among me among many witnesses. He says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you understand this morning that truth is generational? It's got to go from one hand to the other. It must be passed on. It's a lifetime of truth. I don't know where the Lord, what He will do with my kids. Perhaps one of them will be a missionary. I don't know. We want them to do whatever God wants them to do. Amen. Y'all don't be doing this. You want them to do what you want them to do. You teach your kids how to do what God wants them to do. You get an amen right there. I don't know what God will do with them. My prayer is that they just stay in my house. Amen. That prayer is not going to get answered. I know that. My prayer is this, that wherever they go, wherever they end up, and if by chance I pass off the scene what people would call prematurely, that they've got enough truth in their life that generationally they can pass it on down quite a bit further. Amen. I want my children's children's children standing for God, not just my children. Amen. Go back with me, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1. Last week, we saw three reasons you must fireproof your kids. I want to restate these briefly. I encourage, if you didn't hear the message last week, please go back and listen to it. We saw, number one, that you cannot insulate. Three reasons why you must fireproof your kids. You cannot insulate your children from evil or from temptation. If there is an environment, Satan can get into it. If there is an environment, it can be a good old church. It can be a wonderful Sunday school. It can be a Christian school. It can be a Bible college. You know how many people when I was in Bible college got kicked out of Bible college for doing not Bible college stuff? Why? Satan can get into any environment. No environment is perfect. The main reason is that is because you are involved in it. And I am involved in it. Give me an amen right there, church. My main problem with my children's problem, the whole environment with them, is I can create a beautiful environment for them, but I'm still involved in that. It's a sinner raising a sinner. And so that's going to happen. There's going to be some blowback that comes from that. Your children don't need anyone but themselves to ruin their lives. They are sinners. Yes, your little sweet pea, your little angel, your little darling, the apple of your eye is a sinner that can bring great harm and great hurt to you and to the Lord. Somebody give me an amen right there. You can't insulate your children from evil. You can't hide them, number two, or dumb them into safety. You can't sit there and say there's no evil out there. There's evil out there. We want to be careful about what we introduce to our kids, but you need to understand this. They better be prepared for what they're going to face. Life is a series of tests, and your kids need the questions and the answers. These answers can't come from somebody else. They cannot come from the TV or from YouTube. They must come from you. Somebody give me an amen right there. You can't sit there and keep your kids, hide things from them, because nature, biology, Satan, all of it will allow them to get to a place where they're going to discover stuff. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm trying to keep my children as innocent as I can, as long as I can, simple concerning evil, wise with good. Somebody give me an amen right there. But that is not a process that's going to work until they're 50. It won't even work until they're 19. It won't even work until they're 15. I've got to begin prepping them at the proper time and in the proper context. I've got to prep them. I can't hide them into safety. Amen. These questions these kids are going to answer as they get to their faith crisis. Like these young men, there's going to be questions, and they need a why. They need a why. Why do we do what we do? Why does our family believe what we believe? Why do we go to church when the doors are open? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we pray when we eat? And everybody else, nobody else does that. Why do we do this? Daddy, why do you write out a tithe check? Why do you do that? They need a why. Somebody give me an amen with me this morning. Your children need a why. The type of Christianity that says, just do what I say, absent of information and reasoning does not produce generational Christianity. If all you got is a rule with no reason, you've just produced a rebel, I promise you. I promise you, and we'll get to that later on about training our children for toughness. If it's all rules with no reason, you got a rebel on your hands. Because the Bible teaches that rules bring out the rebel in us. Paul said, I didn't know it was a problem until there was a law against it. Did you know that? Anytime somebody tells your flesh, and you all know this because you did it this week while you were driving, when somebody says, don't go, says 55, you got to go 56. You know that, all right? At least you should, all right? You should at least go 56. But anyway, the bottom line is this. You cannot simply say, well, y'all don't need to know that. That's not for you to know. Don't worry about that. Just bless your heart. Live in your little bubble. You'll never keep them in a bubble. And when they burst out of that bubble, great is the crash thereof. Amen. You can't insulate your children from evil. You can't hide or dumb them into safety, and you cannot prepare your kids for every situation. These young men's mommies and daddies had no earthly idea when they were born into their family the situations they were going to get put into. They didn't know that their Jerusalem was going to be taken, although God had warned them. They didn't know that they were going to be put into a boot camp of sorts. They didn't know they were going to be placed one day on this big, huge plane with everybody else about. Their parents didn't know any of that. You cannot prepare your child for every situation. I want to prepare my children for every situation. I want them to be ready to do everything and handle everything. But the bottom line is, I cannot do that. But what I can do is give them a truth that will fix and deal with any situation. If I give them enough truth, I don't need to worry about the situation. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Y'all with me? Y'all tracking with me this morning? I'm telling you, we sat there, oh, what are we going to do about this? What about this? What if this happens? What if this happens? Well, I don't know if that's going to happen or if it's not going to happen. But I know God's word, and I can give them that, and they can deal with it from that point forward. Now, there are going to be three challenges in Daniel chapter 1 this morning we're going to have to look at. Three challenges to fireproofing your kids. Three very specific things that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do with these young men. And all the, by the way, there was a bunch of young men and young women, evidently, who went along with the program. You got to remember that these young men were the minority in standing for God. Hello? Three things, three challenges of fireproofing. If you're going to fireproof your kids, you're going to have to discern, deny this, defend against it. You're going to have to fight for it. Nobody told me child rearing was a fight. Everybody says wonderful, and it is wonderful. I got a fourth one away just in case you didn't know. Child rearing is wonderful. I didn't realize how much of a fight it was going to be. I didn't realize how much it was a fight it would be to raise a child for God in a pastor's home. I mean, I'm a pastor. This should be easier. It should be easier for me than it is for you. It should be in my mind. We're in the ministry. I mean, that means we don't have to deal with some of the stuff. Wrong. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of my pastor friends and pastor mentors have made the mistake of not fireproofing their own kids.
Amen.
Let's pray once more. Father, please help us now briefly look at how the challenge that's coming. Lord, give us the mind and the wisdom and the discernment on how to meet these challenges with our families. Lord, take into account the unique personalities of our kids, our own faults and failures, Lord, and personality traits. Lord, with all of that, our own sinfulness, Lord, there's no way in the world we can fireproof our kids without you. And this is not something we can do on our own. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to. Lord, I pray that you would encourage, enlighten us, teach us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4, you know that they are taken into captivity. The Bible says, let's start up in verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom, verse 4, was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Let me give you point number one. If you're going to fireproof your kids, here's what Satan's trying to do, and here's what you have to do. Number one, he's going to try to deconstruct their faith. And you're going to have to fireproof their minds. They were challenged here to integrate what they knew was to be true into a culture that was rebellious to truth. When they brought them into this program here, he says, I want these guys who can get all this information, and I want to teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I want them to learn the ways of Babylon, is what the king said. I want them to understand how we think, how we see things, how we think of philosophy. Are y'all with me this morning? There is a philosophy of the world, and there is a philosophy of God. And those philosophies are competing for the minds of your children and for your mind in itself. Christianity is first and foremost thinking truth. Somebody give me an amen right there. It's all about the way you think. Did you know that? It's about your mind and the way your mind is fixed on God. And he says, I want them to learn differently than what they've been taught. I want them to learn the way of the Chaldeans. This is a 3-year assimilation plan. They were going to be taught the ways of the Babylonians. And I wrote in my notes here, it was nothing more than cultural propaganda. Do you understand there was cultural propaganda pushed down your children's throats all day? Amen. They can't pass by it. You can't hardly walk into a store. You can't go anywhere without some propaganda being pushed upon your kids. It's different than the way you think. Y'all need to wake up to this right now. The world you're in is not the world you grew up in. The world I'm in is not the world I grew up in. It's not the world my parents grew up in. And some of us have not caught up with speed with where our world is. Well, I would never think that. I'd never do that. Well, not only would you never think it and never do it, they teach it out there and they want your kids to do it. Amen. It is cultural propaganda being pushed on your children nonstop. Amen. Rebellion. Rebellion has been pushed, forgive me, rebellion has been pushed by Disney for many years. Where are the parents in these shows? And if the parents are in the shows, they're idiots. They're acting dopes. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. What is that? It's saying, listen, it's teaching your children not to honor and respect and obey your parents, but instead to rebel, and they're dumb, and they're silly, and trick, and all this other stuff. Somebody give me an amen right now. I'm telling you, it's cultural propaganda. Your children's minds are under assault about how to think about truth, way to think about things, the way to think about a man, the way to think about a woman, to think about babies. I'm telling you right now, your children's minds are under assault. If you're going to fireproof your kids, they're going to have to, and if they're going to yield their bodies to the worship of God, their minds have to be fortified with the truth of God's word. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter number 12. You know why sometimes people, they wonder why we do such things. You know why we tell your kids not to listen to rock music and rap music and all that stuff? It's because it's got a philosophy that's filled with cultural propaganda.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Well, I don't really have that big of a deal. It's better to hear what does the Bible say? The reproof of the wise than the song of fools. Amen. It's all about the philosophy that comes out of it. The philosophy is basically this. It's your body. There's no truth. Do whatever you want and you'll be happy. Amen. It's the music that helped bring in the sexual revolution in the 60s. I'm not the smartest guy around, but I do read a little bit, and I am a student of history, and I have listened to a few people. There was something that, by the way, if you go back and look at when they were meant to bow down, there was some music played. Did you know that? I'll get to that later on. But I can tell you, you might think I'm an old fogey. I'm not. But you might think I'm an old fogey, but I can tell you this. I've never seen a child and a young person turn out for God who didn't get their music straightened out.
Amen.
That's just a free one right now. I'll come to that later for y'all, all right? That'll come for y'all later right there. But they're trying to deconstruct their faith. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Is that what these young men did? When they came to the fire, I know we're not looking at the fire, but did they not present their bodies as a living sacrifice? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar even recognized. He said they yielded their bodies to this. They were willing to go to the fire for this. Yeah, Paul says, acceptable, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your, what's the next word? Mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you understand how young people can't even figure out the will of God because their minds are so messed up? The Bible says you need to have a renewed mind to discern the will of God. Somebody give me an amen around here. I don't want to say like I'm preaching somewhere. I'm at the church this morning. Y'all help me out here this morning. I'm telling you, there is a cultural propaganda. It is orchestrated by Satan himself to deny your children's faith, to deconstruct their faith, to tear them down, and you got to fireproof their minds.
Amen.
What affects the mind is what they see and what they hear. The Bible is very clear that Lot, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. If I left and just let my children watch whatever they wanted to watch, I promise you, no amount of Sunday school teaching, no amount of Bible preaching could undo what they get.
Amen.
I think the Bible, I think they're telling us right now kids are watching TV 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day, that don't include the video, the YouTube, and all this other stuff. And we got iPads and those things, whatever. Bottom line is this, you better fireproof your kids' minds. You better fortify those kids' minds with absolute truth. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let your children pick up the way of the Babylonians. We actually, and listen, you, no apologies here, but we preach the Bible. But you know, the Bible says very clear that men are married to marry women and women are married men. I mean, the Bible teaches that. But you know that third graders and second graders don't believe that in this state because they've been taught and indoctrinated a way to think about from Babylon. Amen. I wouldn't send my dog's hind leg to a place that would indoctrinate them against the truth. I'll just tell you that one right now.
Amen.
Amen. Homeschool them. Put them in a Christian school.
Amen.
Where y'all at this morning? Did I miss the address of Pioneer Baptist Church today?
Amen.
Y'all looking at me like knots on a log this morning. I'm telling you right now, we got to fortify our kids' minds against
Amen.
Falsehood.
Amen.
No wonder we got some kids making bad mistakes. No wonder they're walking away from the faith. They've been listening and hearing junk for years that they're from animals, that God didn't create them, that all these different things and all the indoctrination that has happened, and we have sat there and let them be programmed by TV programming. Their minds are deluded. Their minds are messed up. And I'm going to tell you, you want to fireproof your kids, you better let them, they better be thinking straight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So that's the challenge, number one, is to deconstruct their faith. I'm trying to get to my message this morning. Deconstruct their faith. They're going to be told that those Bible verses they learned at home, and they better be learning them at home. These Bible verses they learned at home and they learned at church. Well, that's not really what the Bible, that's not really true. The Bible's not trustworthy. They can't really believe creation because there's not evidence for it. Well, there's more than enough evidence
yes,
for it.
Sir. Yes.
Amen. They're going to face that. You know, some of your kids, God's going to call them to be doctors and surgeons. They're going to go to medical school, and they're going to have to pass the test and get the right answers without believing those answers. Right? Y'all with me this morning? They're going to have to sit there and say, well, okay, this is, I remember I went to Murray State University and I had to take philosophy and psychology and all these secondary education major, and there was a bunch of stuff I knew was hogwash. And I knew it was hogwash. It wasn't true. And I knew it wasn't true, so I'd write down, well, this is what your book said. This is the answer you want. Here you go. Why? I was getting brainwashed. I was getting told that everything I've been taught for 20 years of my life, 18 years of my life, wasn't true. That only took a few classes and only one semester for me to figure that one out.
Yep.
So I'm simply saying this, yeah, if your kids are going to be some different things, they're going to have to go into some situations like Babylon where they're going to have to function. They're going to have to walk through that. Hey, somebody give me an amen right there. I wouldn't mind having a few more Christian doctors, to be honest with you. We need a lot more preachers and missionaries, but I wouldn't mind having a few Christian doctors who wouldn't kill babies. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. I wouldn't mind having some folks like that, but I want to tell you, if they're going to go through Babylon, you better fireproof their minds so that they're insulated against all that stuff, trying to deconstruct their faith. You have to fireproof their minds. Number two, trying to reconstruct their values. You have to fireproof their will. Go with me back to Daniel, chapter number one. The faith that's been handed to me, that was handed to my parents, that was handed to me, that's been handed to my children, that is going to come under attack, and I got to fireproof their minds. I love what Romans 12 said, which says your reasonable service. Reasonable service. For a young person who's been taught properly taught, the Christian life is not really that weird. It's reasonable.
It's right,
man. It's the right way. It's the only way that makes sense. Somebody give me an amen on that one this morning. Amen. Reasonable. Get our minds right. This business of letting your kids figure it out. My children are missionaries. Your children ain't ready to be missionaries. Amen. They might be ready to be missionaries later, but they're not ready to be missionaries now. They're still formulating thoughts, and they're still getting their minds straightened out. They're still figuring this thing out, and you're helping them do it. They're not ready to be missionaries. You're not ready to send them into the lion's den just yet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've heard people tell me that. When I worked in our Christian school back in Kentucky, well, we feel like God's calling our kids to be missionaries, and so we're going to take them out. And you know what? That didn't work out for nobody.
Amen.
Except the devil. Number two, reconstruct their values. Verse number five, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Their values were going to be reconstructed, and so they had to have their wills fireproofed. Let me say it again. Satan's trying to reconstruct your values. You're going to have to fireproof your kid's will. I like what the Bible says in verse number 8, but Daniel did what? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat.
Yeah.
Now I'll just pause right there. I don't know if the other three were ready to do it or not, but Daniel was.
Amen.
And Daniel, by the grace of God, brought three others with him.
Amen.
Amen. This, we don't read it that it was a four thing, that it was all four got together and put their hands together and did pinky swears and said, listen, we're not going to do it. It says Daniel did it and the others jumped on board. Never underestimate the value of a godly friend. We'll get to that another time. But this was an attempt to lure them into cheap fulfillment, quite frankly. Look what the king has to offer you. You're going to enjoy this. All this stuff that your God said, that your parents said don't eat and don't touch, all this stuff that would defile you, the king said, I'm going to offer that to you and it's going to be good for you and you're going to like it. It's actually going to make you better. In fact, I'm going to require it of you. Are y'all with me now? They were having to go against everything that had been valued, not to eat and not to touch and not to drink. And Satan was saying, all this stuff that your parents are keeping from you, actually, it's worth enjoying. Satan, again, I'm going to say it again, he's a master counterfeiter. Whatever God has designed as righteous and pleasurable and an honorable way to fulfill that, Satan has a counterfeit for that. And he will offer that. And it's always going to offer that. Satan always offered that. And these young men were being tempted to make friends with Babylon and its ways. They were being tempted to say, listen, the values of Babylon are more valuable than what my parents have taught us. I want to remind you, the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. I want to remind you that the Bible says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen?
Amen.
All the motivational values of the world, all these things that the world says are valuable, God says they're not. And they were trying to reconstruct their values. You know, I was taught the value, and I'll just pause on this. This is a side road, but it's not my notes, but it's okay. I was taught the value of hard work.
Amen.
Growing up. Personal responsibility. That's not the value we're being taught today. We're being taught that the government is responsible.
Amen.
And government is not responsible. It's irresponsible. Let me say that one right there on a lot of things. Amen. I was taught the value of hard work. I was taught the value of respect. I was taught the value of that when a woman walked in the room, you stood up. And when a woman, there was one chair left and a bunch of fellas were sitting down, that all the men should have been jumping up and she should have had 50 chairs to choose from, not one.
That's right.
Value women. treat women with respect and dignity and honor. I was taught that with my sisters. We're not being taught that today. Every value that I was taught as a child at some point in form in my adult life has been under attack and undermined culturally. Amen. And it's been a struggle. As a young man, as a 16-year-old boy, as a 17-year-old boy, as an 18-year-old young man, as a 19-year-old young man, all of these things. But here's the values that have been given to me, and this is what my parents said are valuable, and this is what my parents said stay away from. All of that stuff was pushed on me on the opposite side. And the only way, by the grace of God, to be able to make it through, number one, is God's grace. But I'll tell you also, my parents taught me to fireproof my will. Amen. I heard it often as a young boy, sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say no. Don't go in the way of the wicked. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Amen. Somebody say amen right here. What I'm saying today is that, please forgive me when I say this. Actually, don't. What I'm saying today is that so many parents have tried to keep their kids from failing, to insulate every situation of their life against disappointment, to file a grievance against every teacher or coach who dare correct their little sweetie. These kids have no iron will. No will, because they've been moved from difficulty to difficulty. Oh, it's too hard. Let's move you on. Let's move it hard. Now I'm meddling with you, all right? Now I know I hit the point where I needed to hit today. I'm telling you right now, we have come such a, and I'm sorry to say it, but we have built snowflakes. We have moved them from difficulty to difficulty. We have sat there and said, oh, this is rough. This teacher's being rough on you. If I'd have come home complaining against a teacher, I'd have got two whoopings for it, from one from mom and one from dad, and I probably got back and got another one until everything was investigated. I'm just telling you right now, we have I know I'm going to meddle with you, and that's okay. We can get mad about it all we want, but we have turned a bunch of softies. See, these boys were able to stand against the whole crowd that was bowing down because they had a resolved iron will in their life. Daniel said, I purpose not to defy myself. I will not do it. Joseph had an iron will when that woman came at him every single day, and he said he would not do it. I will not do it. I will not do it. I'm telling you right now, they're going to reconstruct their values. You better teach them how to have an iron will that say no.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. These kids, I'm finding out that many kids don't know what to do when faced with a critical decision. When they have a faith crisis, they become lilies that wither under the pressure of life. Still nursing on their mommies as adults. Forgive me. No will whatsoever. I understand that the Christian life is lived in the strength and the power of God, but there is something about the will of a person that you have been given to exercise. And these young men said, we ain't going to do it. That's the deep Hebrew, by the way. We ain't going to do it. They had been taught. They had their wills fireproofed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good, preacher.
Thank you. At least one of you felt that way. See, these boys didn't wilt under the fire. They thrived in it. My dear friends, you need to understand there will be a day when you don't get to step in for your little sweetheart. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I'm stepping in right now, but there will be a day that I won't be able to step in for them. Amen? My kids better figure out how to stand when I'm not standing right next
yes.
to them.
Yes.
You can't hold their hands everywhere. You can't take them everywhere. You can't do that. That's not life. That's not reality. If you think you're going to be able to do that for the rest of their lives, you're wrong. You're going to get old and can't move. And they are going to rebel against God and move away from you someday. All right? I mean, all that's going to happen. I'm telling you right now that these values that they were coming at, these values that were being pushed at them, they had the response. They had a fireproof will that said, we will not bend. We're not careful to answer you. That went over great. But it's still the truth.
Yes.
I want you to notice right here, there are three values that Satan wants your child to adopt. Can I give them to you quickly? I want to go to them real deep. If you were to look right here in Daniel chapter number 1, and you see here at verses 4, 5, and 6, I want you to see three values that your children are being told to adopt. And they're going to have to reject them. Number one, that their value is related to their appearance and their ability. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Do you know what your world is telling your young men and your young women? That their value is based on two things, their appearance and their ability.
That's true.
Amen. Our young ladies are being taught that the way to get attention and fulfillment and all that other stuff is to show what they got.
Amen.
To accentuate the things that don't need to be accentuated. Hello?
Amen.
To be immodest. To do all this stuff, and that's where their value is built in. It's amazing to me that the very crowd called Hollywood that promotes it is the one that tries to stand up against it. Bunch of hypocrites, I'll tell you that one right now. But the bottom line is they're being taught that their value is related in their appearance and their ability. We've got all these sports guys, and we recognize them for ability. And a lot of them, please forgive me, but I'll just say it again, a lot of them are thugs and disrespectful and whoremongers. And we're going to sit there and celebrate them because of their ability that God gave them, but they don't got the character to do it right because they're telling everybody that their value is based on their abilities. Amen. Your value is related to your appearance. I'll give you the second one. I won't go any deeper on that one because I might get myself in trouble and you might like it. Number two, the value is this, that you have to assimilate into culture. Again, the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. See, we got these young people right here. Praise God, they got their Bibles, and we love them. They're all down here and all this different stuff. I love it. Amen?
Yeah.
We love that. You know, when we go places, people can tell we're different. They can tell we're different. Why? Because our kids aren't cursing.
Yeah.
Amen? Our young men are decently respectful. They're good young men. Our young ladies act like young ladies. They're not loud, boisterous, cantankerous, odious, and all the other things the Bible says. They're not out there trying to catch nobody's eye. Give me an amen right now.
Yeah.
They're different. They're different. And they're being told that they can't be different because they need to assimilate into culture. Well, I will tell you this right now. My daughter, by the grace of God, will not be acting like Miss Ariana Grande.
Amen.
Not in my house, not under my rules, not over my dead body. Amen. I'll give you an agenda number three, value number three. I'll close with this one to send you home on a good note. The value is that they should be aspired to be appreciated by the world. See, this whole thing in verse number 5, this whole contest was so they could stand before the king. The king was looking for somebody who could carry on his agenda. And that was to be an advertisement, actually. They were saying, listen, if you boys do these things, you actually get to come work in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. You get to be appreciated by him and all these different things. And these young men had to discern that that wasn't really a big deal. It wasn't a big deal to stand in the courts of King Nebuchadnezzar when you can stand in the courts of God. And you, listen, I want to be successful. I want to work hard. I want my boys to know how to work hard. I want them to put their hand to everything they can do. But if the world don't appreciate it, so be it, as long as their character honors God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a little riled up right now, so I probably ought to keep on preaching. But the bottom line is this.
Amen.
They have been taught that they're going to be having their faith deconstructed. You're going to have to fireproof their minds. Their values are going to be reconstructed. You have to fireproof their wills. And I will close with this point and open up with it next Sunday morning. They're going to undermine their true identity as a son or daughter of the living God. You're going to have to fireproof their godly heritage.
Amen.
I would just give you, I don't want to rush through it here this morning, but I would just tell you this. They got their names changed. That wasn't an issue of convenience. This name change was significant. In the Bible, a name change means something. Abram goes to Abraham. Sarai goes to Sarah. Jacob goes to Israel. And these young men were given names for a purpose. I think I can tell you this very quickly. The boys had special names. Daniel, naming ending in El, Elohim. His name is God is my judge. Hananiah's name means Lord is gracious. Mishael means this, very unique name. Who is what God is, meaning there's nobody compared to our God. Azariah's names meant Jehovah is my helper. All of these young men's names had relations to God. All these names had identities related to God, meaning this, that when you called them, you couldn't help but say and think about the character, the attribute of God. What does this tell me about their parents? That they were godly folks. That they had a godly heritage. These boys' names were changed as a way of encouraging them to forget their God and traditions of their homeland and be conformed to the ways and the gods of Babylon. This was an identity change. Do you know your kid's identity? They want to change your kid's identity. In fact, there's a bunch of identity confusion so that the identity can be redefined. We take the truth, we mess with the truth, so we get confusion. Now we can bring in and interject our new truth. Hello? That's where we are right now. These new names would blot out the heritage of God and give glory to the gods of Babylon. The names that these boys were given were related to the gods of Babylon. Let me say this. Daniel's name, he gets Belteshazzar. That means Bel protects my life. Baal protects my life. Hananiah got Shadrach, which means I'm illumined by the sun god. Mishael got Meshach, meaning who was like unto Venus. Who was like unto God? Who was like unto Venus? Abednego is the slave of the god of Nebo. Not Jehovah is my helper, but now I'm a helper to the wrong god. Do you understand how serious this was? This was a change of identity in these young men. Everything that these men knew, the king and his eunuch and all of them were trying to change that. Wanted them to forget what they really were, who they really were. It meant they were under new ownership. Their Chaldean names were related to their Hebrew names, but the name of God was changed. It would be like this. This is brother so-and-so who loves the Lord, and now this is so-and-so who hates the Lord. And I want to tell you, with my heart breaking, I've seen too many young people get their names changed, get their identity changed. They no longer identify with God. They no longer identify with the things of the Word of God. They no longer identify with the truth. They are lock, stock, and barrel, walking and talking with Babylon. They have acclimated, assimilated, and they have become part of that culture. Why? Because they weren't fireproofed. These young men were amazing. They wanted them to forget who their God really was, but they refused to do so. And this sets up the contest of the whole book. Whose God is God? You know, that's what the book of Daniel is about. At least the first part of it is. Whose God is God? Is it Nebuchadnezzar and the house of his gods? Or is it God Jehovah? These boys figured out that 4 plus God make a majority in every situation. Let's all stand this morning. I'll pause right here. I'm done. Let me ask you now, is your kid's identity secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they know who they are in the Lord? I shudder to think what my children could become if they adopt the wrong values. If my daughter adopts the idea that her value and her worth is in her appearance, she's only going to find a guy who values worth and appearance, and he's no value at all. Beauty is deceitful. Favor is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
Yeah,
amen. I want my girl to be the right girl so that the right guy, whoever he might not be, can learn. I want the right guy looking for the right girl.
Amen.
Amen. Your kids are being told that their ability is what sets them apart, but it's God that sets them apart.
Amen.
The faith that these kids had wasn't just the faith of their parents. At some point, it became their faith. They accepted that mantle. They kept their identity. And you'll see that God won. And God's name was proclaimed because they had been fireproofed. Would to God that our country would do the same. Experience the same. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come before you now. The hour is dark. The need is great. Our children and their identities are being stolen, being educated out of them. This propaganda that they're fed every day, that they did not come from the Creator, but from some accident, some mess, some chaos. Their values, Lord, are that we're teaching here, Lord, in our homes and in our church, they're under assault constantly. Their minds and their wills and their truth and their values, Lord, their identity, all of it. Satan sure is crafty. And Father, we would shudder to even bring children up in this world were it not for your word, for your grace and for your power and for your strength. Father, I stand before my dear brothers and sisters this morning with the absolute belief that we can fireproof our children, that there is a way to train up our children the way that they should go when they're old and not depart from it. That the truth we give them when they're young and that window of opportunity can be a lifetime of truth that lasts into generations. Father, I pray that each parent here be very careful with that which enters the minds of their children. Father, I pray that they would be very careful to instill the biblical values upon which your word teaches us, which our nation was even founded. And Father, I pray that we would identify them in Christ, Lord, that they would understand that whatever that means to be in Christ, Lord, that that's who they are. What a joy it is to have your assurance and security in the Lord Jesus.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned within. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender.